John chapter 16. Now, remember what James said? Let every man be slow to what? Quick to what, though?
Here.
Here. Now, having said that, I will say that God Almighty has put me here to speak. So that's what I intend on doing right now. And I want you to listen. God the Spirit, and I say it exactly that way because that's who He is. He is God the Spirit.
Yep.
God the Spirit is the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
According to our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 16 and verse 14. He's called the Spirit of truth. And you'll be turning to John 16. The Spirit of God prepares the elect for gospel hearing and truth believing. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. And He must do that first. No one will ever truly hear the gospel and believe unless the Spirit of God first prepares them for it.
Right. Exactly.
Because by nature, our minds are blinded to the gospel of Christ. So the Spirit of God prepares the elect for gospel hearing and truth believing. According to Paul in Romans 8 verse 14, the Spirit of God leads us. According to Paul in Romans 8 verse 4, the Spirit of God directs our walk.
Amen.
And according to Paul in Romans 8 verse 9, He dwells in us.
Amen.
That's a profound thing.
Yes,
that the Spirit of God Himself dwells in me. I don't think I grasp the gravity of that very often.
Yeah. It's hard to, you're right.
Yeah, it is, you're right, it's hard to.
Hard to.
But He's also said to bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you don't have to turn to it, but just listen, let me read this to you. That's found in Romans chapter 8, I mean if you wish to. But listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8. Verse 15, 16, and 17. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Papa, Abba, Father.
Amen.
We cry out unto the Father as our Papa. Mason, that's a close, intimate relationship.
Right.
Like a little child. You remember what Earl used to say. It's like a little child can say, Papa. It doesn't take much ability of speech just to say, Papa, Father. But look, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what it says.
Yes, sir.
I said that's what it says. And look, and if children, then heirs.
Amen.
Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And what is one of the chief ways in which we suffer with Him? Go back to John chapter 16. Now, John chapter 16, we're coming into the middle of the conversation. Or I should say, the middle of Christ's message. And He says in John 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. What? Offended how? He said, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you.
Right.
And no person, in the normal processes of our human thought, relishes that idea.
Yeah. You're right.
We don't relish it.
No.
We may rejoice in the truth of it.
Yeah.
Because we know it. He said if it hates me, it did hate Him.
Yes, it did.
They murdered Him.
Amen.
The world murdered Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now God had His sovereign purpose being carried out, but the world murdered Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, Joe, they tortured Him before they murdered Him.
Right. Exactly right.
More so than they did the other two, those two thieves,
right.
I should rather say. Those two thieves that were hanging on either side. Mason, they tortured Him before they hung Him on that tree.
Exactly.
And He turns to His disciples and said, the world hates you. If the world hated me, it's going to hate you too.
Yes, sir.
And He's also indicated to them, I'm leaving.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Can you imagine how they felt? And yet, when you read Paul, it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him.
Amen.
Men hate us without a cause.
Exactly.
Because the reason they hate us is not truly because of our sins. Our sins are no greater than theirs. Their sins are no greater than ours.
Exactly.
We're all of the same lump. We're all sinners in Adam. We're just like they are. They hate us because of who we're connected to.
That's right. Yeah.
That's where it's all at.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you just... Now, some people's not going to like it, of course. If you just get up and tell somebody, well, you're a sinner, and this one's a sinner, and that one's a sinner, most people say, well, I know we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. They can quote that verse, right?
Okay. Yeah.
But when you begin to preach Jesus Christ, it changes.
Right. Yes, sir.
It changes. Now, think of Romans 8 and think of this. It's almost like a song, Joe, a tune of comfort. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, what I now want to do is read the words of this song. Okay? And I'm going to, you're in John 16. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. And while we know that had a literal fulfillment in the apostles and many of the believing Jews, they'll put you out of churches today if you stand for the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Some of us have experienced that. We had to leave for fear. People will threaten you. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service.
Yeah.
And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I've said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And let me tell you, when you begin to experience the hatred of this world for believers, it hurts.
Yes, sir.
Because oft times, as sad as it is, but it's true, oft times some of the most vitriolic hatred comes from those you care about the most.
Amen.
Right, true.
People who don't know you very well don't give a flimp.
Exactly.
Do they? They don't care. But those closest to you will be the ones that turn on you when you try to exalt the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You're right.
Sorrow fills your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Now think about that.
Mm-hmm.
It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And do not think, well, is Christ saying that there was a possibility that maybe this wouldn't happen? No. This is the problem with the human mind. We read the word if and we think of possibilities.
Exactly.
He's talking about cause and effect here. That's what he's talking about.
Yes, sir.
But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now this is what he said just after he calls him the Comforter.
That's what it says.
Have you ever read this and just, have you ever read this? It's like I don't seem to see the connection. Huh? He's called the Comforter, and the next thing he says, and when he's come, he'll reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
That's what it says.
Hmm? Of sin, and then he actually defines it for us. Here's the words of this song of comfort. Of sin, because they believe not on me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. But when he's come, he'll show them to you. Isn't that what he goes on to say?
Yes, sir.
When he's come, he will show these things to you. Here we are told, by the very promise of Jesus Christ, that the Comforter would come. When he went away, he would personally see to it
yes, sir.
That the Comforter would come. Right? This is a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We know who this Comforter is. He already said in John chapter 14, verse 26, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
So that's settled. You know, that's settled as to who the Comforter is. But here we are told by the promise of Christ of this threefold or three-faceted comfort.
Yeah. There you go.
And I have read this for years. Mm-hmm. And it just like this.
Yeah.
It just went right over. What does he say? But if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come. He's still talking about the same thing, Joe.
Yes, sir.
The same person, the Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Let me tell you something. It's a good thing to be reproved of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Yep. Amen.
That's right.
Yep. It's a comfort
once
you're on the other side of it.
Exactly.
You hear what I say? Once you're on the other side of it, once it begins, now when it first starts, it'll feel like, or it will be, and it'll feel like the spirit of bondage. You know why? Because that's what you'll first begin to feel.
Exactly.
Is the spirit of bondage. God, first by His Spirit, will show you the bondage you are in. But then there is liberation.
Amen.
Where it's not the spirit of bondage again to fear. But it's the spirit of adoption whereby we begin to cry, what? Papa!
Yeah.
God Almighty is my Father.
Amen.
And I have the right, because I'm a joint heir with Christ, to call Him my Papa.
Amen.
That's right.
But the only way I know this is true of me is if I have been reproved of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Amen.
Hmm? Oh, we know there's an election. He just spoke of that. John chapter 15, right? But how does anyone ever know they're one of the elect? Only after they've been reproved of sin, righteousness,
right,
and judgment.
Amen.
And this truly is consoling. That's what the word comforter means. To console. To make intercession for. And that's my title. The Comforter. Because that's the context.
Yeah.
The Comforter. You see, if I partake of this threefold comfort, then my heart is assured before God.
Amen.
And even more, let me put it another way, as I partake of this threefold work of the Spirit of God, as I am a recipient of this threefold work of the Spirit of God, it assures my heart God is at work in me.
Amen.
Because you can't imagine this. You don't imagine it. It either happens to you, and is happening to you, or it's never happened to you.
Right. You're right.
And that's just the way it is.
Yep.
So again, I say, if I am a partaker of this threefold comfort, then my heart is assured before God. God the Spirit, think about it, God the Spirit places us in the body as and where He pleases. That's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. He puts us in the body where He pleases, right?
Amen.
You're in the body of Christ. Where God, if you're a foot, God made you to be a foot.
Yep.
If you're an eye, God made you to be an eye. If you're an ear, God made you to be ear. And that's the illustrations He uses,
yep,
right?
Yes, sir.
And in this place in the body, there, by the sovereign act of a sovereign God, we have differing gifts, differing places, and different workings. Go back and read it again sometime, 1 Corinthians 12, 3 through 10. So we're not all in the same place in the body, but we all are in the same body.
Amen.
Right?
Yes,
and the reason your experience overall is not the same as mine is because we're not all the same part of the body.
Right.
We're different parts, different members, yeah, members in particular.
Yeah.
But we all have experience and are experiencing this threefold work of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
You see it?
Yes, sir.
If I'm a foot and you're an eye, my gifts, my workings, that ministration is different from yours. But all of us together have been brought by this threefold work into this body.
Exactly.
Of faith and worship in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes,
sir. If you're not experiencing this threefold work, you got no right to claim any part in the body of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And this work is defined. It's defined. when he's come, this is his primary thing. You will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then he defines all three of these.
That's right.
And I also believe this to be a continual work. Mm-hmm. According to the very truth Paul recorded in Ephesians 1, mainly 12 through 14, the Spirit is the seal. You know what it calls it? The guarantee.
Yeah.
But Joe, it's more than, it's not just some static thing to where he does something and then just leaves us alone. This is an ongoing, continual work of God.
Amen.
Now, that being said, let me say this. There is a primary or a beginning to this work.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm going to deal with this morning. In other words, there's a time when God Almighty originally and in the beginning of your experience, He converts you to the worship and faith of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But this does not cease. Now, you all are aware, but we've not been plagued by this here. But years ago, I was always taught this passage is just how God saves sinners. And once He saves a sinner, then Mason, this work's over. He's done this threefold work, and it's all over with. And then on top of that, I was also taught that this work of the Spirit depends upon you. Right? That's what's normally taught. And this work of the Spirit, He's trying to do this for everybody.
Yeah.
And those who give in to it, or whatever words you want to use, then they're the ones who are actually saved. But then it's kind of done. I'm once saved, I'm saved forever. And that experience is already, it's gone, it's over with. But let me tell you, as a child of God, as one of the elect of God, when God Almighty converts you, when He changes you, that change will continue until you awake in the likeness of Christ, either in death or at the rapture. And that's some people don't want to say that word, but it's the truth. When that trump shall, we sang it, when that trump shall resound, and the dead in Christ will be raised first, and whoever's alive and remain in Christ, they're going to be changed, and we're going to be caught up together.
Amen.
That's when it'll end. That's when it'll finally be finalized. But this work continues from the start all the way to that end. First of all, verse 8, and when He is come, He will reprove. Do you see that? He will. This lets me know two things. One, the Spirit of God is designed. His purpose, His design is to do this.
Yes, sir.
Right? It's His will to do this. He will. And it lets me also know this. It is absolute.
Yeah.
He will.
He will.
He's not going to try to do this.
There you go.
But He will.
He will,
He will reprove the world.
Amen.
The world. The world, yeah. Look, David, right? A black man and a white man both. Right?
There you go.
Male and female.
Yes, sir.
Both, right? Some of us a little better off monetarily than others are. Right? Young, old, He's reproving the world, is He not?
Yes, sir.
To where it'll be summed up, and it is summed up in Revelation chapter 5, that Thou, speaking to Christ, these people cry out, Thou hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, kindred.
That's right.
That's the world.
Yes, sir.
That's the world.
That's it.
Now the fact is, Joe, if He just saved one of us, He saved the world of mankind.
Yes, sir.
If He just saved one, He'd have saved the world of mankind. Mankind would have been spared even if it had just been one. Oh, but the Scripture says it's a number which no man can number.
Amen.
And then people think, when we talk about election and free reigning grace, they think, well, you're talking about just a little bitty itty handful.
Right.
And we look at our group, and even after all these years, and it feels like a little bitty handful. But you remember, the prophet felt that way too. He said, I'm left alone. It's just me, Lord. And God said, no. There's 7,000 more.
Yeah.
You don't even know about it, but they're there. Yes, isn't that what He said?
Yes, sir.
They're there. And Joe, when God gathers us all up together, and John the Apostle was allowed to see it, he said it was a number that no man could number.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Has God and is God reproving me? That's the question.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you, there is a sense. Now, I don't think this is what Christ's talking about here. There is a sense in which many are reproved.
Yes.
You know that?
Oh, yeah.
There's a sense in which many men and women are reproved. But they are as Solomon said, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Isn't that what it says? Ah, but there is a world that shall be reproved.
Yes, sir.
Of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. They're going to actually be corrected.
Exactly.
That's the meaning of the word. They're going to actually be convicted. And here's the best one I like. They're going to actually have some things exposed to them.
Yes, sir.
That's what the word reprove means. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of what? I'm going to have sin exposed to me. I'm going to have righteousness exposed to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to have judgment exposed to me. The very meaning of the word lets us know that we're in a sad, pitiful state, and something has to be done for us first before we'll ever recognize even the error of our way or any other way and the righteousness that God Almighty demands. Think about it. Turn to Ecclesiastes. And listen to these words. Ecclesiastes, let's find it, chapter 7, and just verse 5. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who do you think that the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, is really talking about?
There you go.
Who's he really talking about? He's talking about God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
That's the main. Now, granted, God uses individuals, people, to sometimes bring this to our attention. But he's truly the wise one that reproves.
Yes, sir.
Now, he'll do it through his word. He'll do it through circumstance, but never apart from the word.
Exactly.
He'll do it through providential actions, but never apart from circumstances and the word.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools.
There you go.
And all around us, what is the singing we hear? It's the singing of fools.
Exactly.
But there are a few voices that God's ordained, a few places where God is ordained, where God speaks.
There you go.
Where God Almighty is speaking to men. The wise one, and it's good. What is it? It's better to hear the what? The rebuke. It's good to be rebuked.
Yes,
is it
sir.
Not?
Yeah.
It's good to be rebuked. And yet the world outside, the world, the unregenerate world, let me put it that way, when they hear rebuke, they become angry. Who are you to tell me that you're just a sinner like I am? But I ain't talking about my word. I'm not talking about my opinion. If you're proclaiming the truth of God, God is speaking.
Amen.
Is he not?
Yes, sir.
God is speaking. But yet there are two types of men in this world, regenerate and unregenerate. We can talk about elect and reprobate, and that's certainly valid. But here's the thing. There are two kinds of people in this world, and that includes both elect and reprobate, and that is regenerate and unregenerate. And when an unregenerate man is rebuked, he'll stiffen his neck even more.
Yes, sir.
And if God leaves him or her there, they will suddenly perish, and that without remedy. But if God Almighty Spirit's pleased to move in sovereign, free, reigning grace, they will be reproved of what? Of sin? Yeah. Of righteousness,
yeah,
and of judgment, all three.
Amen.
Listen to what, another, turn to Proverbs. Let's turn back a few pages, Proverbs chapter 9. I love this passage here. I do hope I wrote down the right one. Let me look here. Yes, Proverbs 9, look at verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee.
Mm-hmm.
But haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Haven't you people got really, somebody get really mad at you because you said that ain't right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's why it ain't right, because God's book says so.
Yeah.
And they become perturbed at you.
Oh, yeah.
Angry at you. Hateful towards you.
Oh, yeah.
But look, reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, what he'll do.
Yeah, that's what it's
you rebuke a wise man, what will he do?
He'll love you.
Now, granted, he might not write it first.
Yeah, there you go.
He might not write it first. Because even in the wise, that's God's people.
Yeah.
You know, the old saying is, wise men do seek the Lord Jesus Christ. We're coming into that time of year when they talk about the wise men seeking. Well, wise men do seek him.
Yeah.
Those that are made wise by an act of a sovereign God.
Yes, sir.
But you tell a wise man, you tell a man that God has breathed life, spiritual life into, yes, his flesh will revolt.
Yeah.
But there is something else within that person now that says, I need that.
Amen.
That's helpful to me. It's helpful to me to be rebuked, reproved, corrected, to have things exposed to me.
Yes, sir.
Oh, give instructions to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. You see it?
Amen.
Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
Exactly.
Oh, thank God that when he came, he reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Isn't it? And that's verse 8. When he was come, he will.
Yes, sir.
And he'll reprove the world. When this is all wound up, the world's going to be saved.
Yep. Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Not all in the world, but the world will be saved.
Yeah.
There's going to be some of all of us.
Right.
Going to be standing around that throne giving glory to God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Rich, poor, young, old, male, female, whatever it might be. There is none of us that stands above another when we compare ourselves to God's holy word.
Amen.
Now we may stand head and shoulders above another just like Saul did when we look at it with the eyes of the flesh.
Amen.
But God sees the heart.
Amen.
And that's my problem. By nature is my heart. My problem ain't your heart.
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
My problem ain't you.
No.
I know you think I think you're my problem, but you're not my problem. That's a little tongue in cheek, folks. Didn't really mean that.
There you go.
No, my problem is me.
Yeah. Amen.
If I were truly perfect, if I were truly holy, all you could do would be vex me. But you could not intrinsically affect me.
Yeah.
And how do I know that? Look at Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Yeah.
He was vexed.
Yeah.
But he was not intrinsically corrupted or anything.
Exactly.
He said the devil, he ain't got nothing in me.
That's right.
You know? And when he was tempted of the devil, I said devil, didn't I? The tempted of the devil. It wasn't to see if he would fall. It was to prove that he could not.
Amen.
That's right.
And even when Satan would resort to his trickery of lying about God's word.
Yes, sir.
Our Lord Jesus Christ stood where? On the word of God.
Amen.
Now, Mason, he had the right to stand on his own merits.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He had right to stand on his own merits. And at sometimes he spoke of his own merit, and rightfully so. I do always those things that please my Father. But he also said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him that sent me.
Amen.
What a glory. And God, as I said, has God and is God reproving me? Is he actually proving to me? Is he convicting me? Is he exposing to me these things? You remember Psalm 23? Of course you do. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. Right? Well, turn back to it. Turn to the 23rd Psalm. And let's read somewhat of all that it says. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, in other words, I will be in no want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now look, thy rod and thy staff.
Yes, sir.
Shall what? They what? What's that next word? They comfort me. Both.
That's right.
Well, here's just a little tidbit from me. We're always corrected before we're directed.
Yes, sir. There you go.
Yeah. Thy rod, it's always that order. Thy rod and thy staff.
Amen.
The rod was there, and usually Joey would have a hook on it in a lot of cases. And that's where the shepherd could reach out and grab a hold, Mason, and pull that sheep where he wanted that sheep to go. That starts first, then the staff leads.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Now here's the thing. I must always be corrected before I'm ever directed.
That's true.
And the reason is, I'm still so corrupt.
Yes, sir.
You know, if God withdrew his providential restraint. I ain't going to say take his hand off me. He never takes his hand off his people.
Right.
But if he withdrew his providential restraint, but for a moment, I would be denying him before the world, just like Peter did.
Yeah.
Right.
I would be looking across the buildings and seeing a Bathsheba somewhere on a housetop somewhere. Would I not?
Maybe so.
That's it.
Hmm? Go through all. I'd be just like a Jonah. God says go here, and I said no. I'm going that way.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's what he thinks.
Because that's where we go. That's what all we like sheep have what gone where
astray,
astray.
Yep.
So is he doing these things to me? And Paul says, go back and read it sometime. 2 Corinthians 1:1-10. Paul said we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? What's the chief reason? So we wouldn't trust in ourselves. But in the one who did deliver us, is delivering us, and will yet deliver us. That's why I'm saying it's an ongoing work, Mason. It's not just why I saved about 35 years ago, and now I'm just making the best way I can. That ain't the way it works. Thank God that ain't the way it works.
You're right. Yes, sir.
Isn't it? God is not the... But verse 9, let's look at the details now. And when he's come, he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. First of all, in verse 9, of sin, and then he defines it. In other words, he narrows it down. Now, there's a lot more to sin than just this. Okay? And there's a lot more to unbelief than just this. But this is where you can narrow it right down to a head.
Yes, sir.
Of sin, why? Because they believe not on me.
Amen.
You see it? Now, all sin is unbelief of some sort or another.
Exactly.
And all unbelief is rebellion against God in some sort or another. But our major problem is believing Christ.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, listen to me. Some, and I know some people will turn this around, some of God's people have trouble with anger. Right? But not everybody. Not all of God's people do they?
Exactly.
Some people are meek and lowly, but not all of us are. Some of God's people got a little trouble with this. But not everybody.
Exactly.
But I tell you, we all have trouble with the sin of unbelief.
Amen. Exactly.
All of us do.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Some of us may have trouble with sticky fingers. Hmm? Trying to get the boss of a few extra dollars at work that maybe he really didn't work for. And other people have no real trouble with that. But we all got trouble with unbelief.
Exactly.
And specifically, we have trouble with believing Christ.
Amen.
You see, if I believe Christ like he deserves to be believed, if I believe Christ like he ought to be believed, all these other things would be nil to me. They wouldn't matter, would they? They wouldn't affect me if I believed God in the person of his son as he ought to be believed.
Right.
And that wasn't just true when I was originally converted, Penny. That's true of me right now today.
Amen.
He still has to daily, David write, reprove me of sin. You know why? Because I don't believe on him like I should.
Oh, that's it.
Is that
right.
Not true? Now, granted, it was definitely true when I was in an earned converted state. But even after he converts me, we still have a constant fall.
Yes, sir.
Fall. But aren't you glad that though the righteous fall, he shall not be utterly cast down?
Amen.
Why? Because the Lord upholds him.
Mm? Yes, sir.
My sin. And I'm saying my sin of unbelief. Not your unbelief ain't my problem.
Yeah.
My unbelief is my problem. Your unbelief is your problem. Your unbelief may affect you. My unbelief may affect you. But that's not your problem.
Exactly.
Mine's not.
Right.
My problem is that person I look at just about every morning when I get ready to shave my face and get ready to go to work. That's the first person I got the most problem with.
Yes,
right,
sir.
Here. My sin of unbelief, and its specific unbelief, is the lack of belief in Christ.
Amen. That's it.
You see, when I do not believe Christ,
yeah.
And here's the question. Does God expose that to me? If you're one of his, he does.
Yeah.
Now, won't he? You might not recognize it right at first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peter didn't. I'm sure when Peter, Neil, but first said, I don't know that man.
Yeah.
And he backed up and said, all right, that's once. You know, I can just see him in his mind. Okay, that's enough. Then what happens? Somebody else gets confronted again. What they say? I don't know that man.
Oh, yeah.
And I can see him begin to say, what?
Get up again.
is going on with me. You ever been there? Huh? And they go, all right, that's it. I'm done with this. It's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to happen at least one more time. And that third time it says he cursed and swore. I can, you think of that old fisherman, the one that he even, sometimes, I know this is shocking to people, but when he fished without clothes on.
Yeah.
Took his clothes off while he was fishing, Mason, around a bunch of other men in his boat.
Yeah.
And he cursed. I can just hear that old sailor fisherman language, can't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Cursed and swore, I don't know the man. Mm-hmm. You know? And even then, it wasn't quite done with. He wasn't going to deny him no more, but it was not, it says, that Christ came out of that building. They let him out,
yeah.
And he looked at Peter.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. And that stopped it right there.
Yes, sir.
That's what stopped it.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Just the look from him is enough, Neil, to stop us in our tracks.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
And what does it say? He went out and wept bitterly.
Amen.
Ain't it good to be reproved of your unbelief?
Yes,
sir. It's a good thing. That's a comforting thing. That's not a bad thing. Well, God's going to get me. You better hope he gets you.
Yeah.
Gets you like this and squeezes a hold of you and won't let you go. That's what I'm talking about. You better hope he'll get you.
Mm.
To expose my unbelief. This is the one sin that we all have to do battle with.
Yes, sir.
Now, don't we?
Yeah.
Some sins, some of us, you know, there are some things bother, some things don't. But this is the one that always gets us. So much so that we have at least one example of it where the man actually told the Lord, he said, Lord, I believe.
Yeah.
Help thou.
Yeah.
Do you see it? You do it for me, Lord.
Amen.
Ain't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
Thou help. Help thou my unbelief.
Yeah. Amen.
How does the first way he starts that is by exposing it to you. Convicting you of it, right?
Yeah.
You got to be rebuked of it, convicted of it, have it exposed to you before you ever begin to back away from it.
Right? Yeah.
See, that's a comforting thing, is it not? It's comfort. It may not feel good, Neil, but it's still comforting.
Yes, sir.
Especially when you're on, as I said, on this side of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially on this, or whichever side, you know. Especially you're on the other side of it. Let's move on. Verse 10, of righteousness. But look, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Have you ever read that and thought, what? What? I have read that before and it just didn't dawn on me. But you know what I said? There's only one place you're ever going to see true righteousness.
Yeah.
You look to the law. You will see legal righteousness, but you'll see how far you are from it if God's ever opened your eyes.
Exactly.
But I don't care how sinful you are, how corrupt you are, how much unbelief you struggle with. If he's already convicted you of sin, you know what? There's only one place you're going to see true righteousness.
Amen.
That's in the person of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And he's telling these disciples, these 12, you've been looking at real righteousness for all this, these couple, two or three years now.
That's right.
Right? True righteousness is going to leave. You ain't going to see it no more. The Spirit of God is going to have to convict you of this. Your righteousness is up in glory now.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And that's a comfort. It's comforting when God exposes my unrighteousness to me, but then exposes, Joe, the righteousness of Christ to me.
Amen.
So much so that Paul puts it this way, and you know the verse, 1 Corinthians 1, he is made unto us wisdom. Remember, that's the first thing. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love you for it.
Mm-hmm.
You rebuke an unwise man, he's going to get mad at you.
Yeah.
Somebody's unregenerate, they're going to get mad, they're going to get angry, and they'll stay that way.
Yeah.
Unless and until God Almighty gives them life.
Oh, yeah.
But once he does, you rebuke them, there might be a few first, oh no, but then after a while, Mason, it begins to fade into the dust of nastiness and corruption. And God exposes your unrighteousness and exposes Christ as the only righteousness God accepts. And he says, Christ is that to you. Is that not a comfort?
Yes, sir.
A comfort. See, God must prove to me, and he does if I'm one of his, he must prove to me Christ's righteousness to me, not just that he is righteous, but that he's my righteousness.
Amen. That's right.
He's my righteousness. How? Why? Why do I have reason to think that? Because he's exposed my unbelief.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He exposes to me yet today how unbelieving I truly am. I would hate to think if belief and unbelief were put on a scale, if it weighs like that. That's why he says of righteousness. Why? Because you'll believe me good enough for righteousness. No. Our primary problem's unbelief. We have to have that constantly exposed to us. But thank God the second thing is what? Of righteousness. Because I go to my Father and you don't see me anymore. The righteousness is going to be hid from your physical eyes. You're going to have to believe me by faith.
Amen.
Receive. Just rest in me. As I've said before, just rest in Him.
Amen.
Rest in Him. God must prove this to me. Prove it. And God proves to me my total lack of righteousness.
Exactly.
The more I live in this world, the more unrighteous I feel.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I've been getting better. It's been 31, 32 years. I don't feel like I'm getting better. I feel like personally I'm getting worse.
Yeah.
Oh, but thank God He enables me to see, Joe, that He's perfect righteousness. And He is that to me. He's proving that to me. Rebuking me of it when I don't see it.
Exactly.
See, God is at work in me, exposing my unbelief and proving to me Christ my righteousness. But there's one more facet. Verse 11. God also does what? Reproves the world of judgment.
Yes, sir.
And then what do most people do? They run to the end, the great white throne. Right?
You're right.
About going to hell or not going to hell. Being cast into the lake of fire, not being cast into the lake of fire. But that's not the way he puts it, is it? Now, I'm not saying that's not true. That is a judgment, Mason.
Oh, yeah. He's coming.
But if John's already seen that group of people standing there at that great white throne, yes or no?
Yes,
he's
sir.
Already seen it. Every one of them's going to be there.
Yeah.
And ain't a thing in this world could be done to change that number.
Right. That's exactly right.
Not a thing in this world to change that. But look at what he actually says. Of judgment, he's going to reprove the world of what? Sin? Because they believe not on me. Of righteousness? Because I go to my Father. You see me no more. Of judgment? Because the prince of this world, what's that next word?
Yeah.
Not will be judged.
Mm-hmm.
Is.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Is.
He is judged.
He is.
Amen.
Now, granted, there are much more to this judgment than just this, but this is what he's dealing. Here's the primary work. He is judged. How did he judge him?
Yeah.
Now turn back just a few pages to John chapter 8, and we will see how the prince of this world was judged by Christ. John chapter 8, verse 38. And this is we're coming in the middle of the conversation again.
Oh, yeah.
But go back and look at the context. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. This is Christ speaking here. And ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. And they, like most good religious people, they answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father, or I'm a Baptist.
Yeah.
You know? I'm a Baptist. Remember, what was it, the guy that helped, one of the original founders was a Baptist, you know, come up with a lot of I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or my daddy was this, or my mommy was that. Jesus saith unto them, look at it, if ye were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham.
That's right.
A lot of people say they believe in grace, but they don't want to hear this part of the message of grace.
That's exactly right.
If you're one of Abraham's children, you'll do what Abraham did.
Exactly.
Here's the chief thing. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I've heard of God. Abraham didn't do that.
That's exactly
did he? Now, Abraham had a lot of troubles, had a lot of problems. Mason, he struggled with unbelief, but he was reproved of all of that.
Yes, sir.
Was he not?
Yes, sir.
But look, ye do the deeds of your father.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't let it go yet.
That's
he,
right. Yeah.
He grabbed a hold of this rope and he just tugging on it, and that rope's around their neck and they don't even know it.
Exactly.
And the person tugging on it ain't them, it's Christ.
Right.
He's keeping them in this converse, won't let it go.
That's it.
Now does he? Look, ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. And I think maybe that was a slur against him. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who's really your daddy? Huh? I'm sure word circulated that here's this woman that was pregnant. She was pregnant for about 9 months, and y'all wasn't even married yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You think that was not known in the community at all?
Sure.
Huh? We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, you'd love me. See where it all pulls back to Him? For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. Ye are, now He comes right out. Now, Mason, He pulls the noose up. Ye are of your father, the devil. He will expose Satan for who and what he really is, right here. You will judge him, right here. You see it? You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, that's why you don't believe me. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God, what will he do? He'll hear God's words.
Amen.
Yes, isn't it? Ye therefore hear them not. Why? Because you're not of God.
Amen.
And what did they say? He's a madman. Right? He got a devil in him.
Yep.
All to be reproved of what sin, righteousness, and what judgment. Why? Because there's a judgment. It's a judgment against the lie of the devil. Right? You see, now go back. I'm not going to read it. You know the passage. 2 Thessalonians 2. The whole chapter. Go back and read it.
Oh, yeah.
What's man's primary problem? The very reason for which God will send some men strong delusion.
Yeah.
That they should believe a lie. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth. Right. That they might be saved. That's what it says. I'm not here to try to doctrinally make that all fit. That's what it says. They didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And Paul writes and says, and because of this, wherefore, God will send them strong delusion. And what are they going to do? They're going to believe the devil's lie. But God hath from the beginning, I give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through what? Sanctification of the Comforter. This work of the Comforter.
Yes,
sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth whereunto He called you by our gospel.
Amen.
There's the proof that you're one of God's right there.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe the lie or do you love the truth?
There you go.
That's it, yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
But that profound.
Amen.
It takes a work of God to get you there.
Yeah.
It takes a work of God to keep you there. And it's going to take the work of God to make it wind up with you there in Christ's presence,
right,
accepted of God the Father.
Amen. That's right.
The question I must ask myself this morning is this my experience?
Yeah.
Now, granted, I think every one of us, apart from some kind of mental losing time, but there's a time when this started, this being reproved of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Did it not?
Yes, sir.
When this work of the Spirit began in us, and you couldn't stop it, even though you may have tried.
Exactly.
I tried to stop it. You know what, Mason? I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't stop it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, little did I know I couldn't stop it. But it doesn't make a difference whether you know that or not. Because when He comes, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment.
Yeah.
Is this my experience? But I'll tell you what, He's still reproving me of these things.
Amen.
Sin, righteousness, and judgment. If not, if this is not my experience, I'm unregenerate no matter what I profess. Now, I didn't say I was reprobate. I don't know about that part when it comes to who was chosen before the foundation of the world. But I'll tell you this, those who were chosen before the foundation of the world shall in time be set apart by the Spirit to believe the truth. They're going to be called to it by the gospel.
And
the Spirit of God is doing this work. Reproving them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But if it is true of me, then Christ's words to me is this is the Spirit of God's work in you.
Amen.
You didn't bring yourself to this.
That's right.
Did you?
Exactly.
We don't reprove ourselves of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's the work of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, wasn't it Stephen? I think he ended up getting stoned for part of it. He said, you always resist the Holy Ghost. And unregenerate men will always resist.
Exactly.
It takes a regenerating act of the Spirit of God before you'll ever even be reproved of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Amen.
As long as you're unregenerate, you go kick and fight and buck and murmur against God. Oh, but once He breathes life into you and you begin to hear the gospel, that gospel will conquer your heart and your mind and your soul.
Yeah.
And you know what? It'll continue to do that.
Yeah.
You may stiffen up your neck at times, but God will break that stiffness.
Yeah.
You know that?
Oh, yeah.
Mason, he broke it one time.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll continue to break it until finally it's broke one last time. The final time, and I awake in his likeness. Huh? Because we still kick, don't we?
Yeah.
We still kick. Oh, this is the comforter's work.
Yeah.
That is comfort. Now, granted, if you tell this to someone that's unregenerate, they will have any idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And when you reprove, if you try to tell them, here's what sin is.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where righteousness really is.
Mm-hmm.
And God has judged the lie.
Yes, sir.
You know what? This will get mad at you. Who do you think you are?
Exactly.
I won't.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think you are? I've seen you. I know how you live. I know what you are. We ain't talking about me. We're talking about him. Because when he's come, howbeit, and then read the rest, and I'll close. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shew it unto you.
Amen.
Has he opened your heart, your mind, your ears, to where you know the rebuke of God, the reproof of God, the exposing of God? That's a comforting thing. Isn't it? That comforts me.
Amen.
Father, teach us these things, not just in doctrine. Oh, teach us the proper doctrine. But Lord, teach us the experience of these doctrines.
Yes.
The truth of these things, the reality of them, the joy of them. The joy of them. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay.
So next week, John 17, right?